Wyoming and her people are proud of the way our state has helped manage and protect our public lands and resources. Good stewardship of the land is a Wyoming value, and I hold it very personally dear. Unfortunately, Wyoming's federal partners are failing to carry their own weight when it comes to forest management in the West. I'm not laying blame here. Our federal land managers have struggled with restrictive policies created by Congress. Ever-increasing costs, droughts, devastating fire seasons, and in the mountain pine beetle, a devastation of healthy trees like I've never seen before in my lifetime. While I am hopeful we can begin to dissect and better understand those challenges today, for much of our forested land in the West, it is too late. We have already lost the battle. Decisions about fuel reduction, beetle prevention, and mitigation, prompt harvesting of dead and dying trees, and the overall health of our forests have real tangible effects on the livelihood of my constituents. We live near or even in these forests. We base entire industries off of them. We recreate and enjoy them. And we count on these forests to attract thousands of tourists every year. As I have testified in the past, we only have one sawmill left in the entire state of Wyoming. So this isn't even so much about forestry. It's about recreation. Healthy forests are integral to our lives and livelihoods. The story you will hear today from Chuck Larson, General Manager of Carbon Power and Light in South Central Wyoming, is a perfect case study for how wide and diverse the effects truly are of this beetle epidemic on the average citizen. This picture, taken by Mr. Larson just days ago, tells a story all by itself. Our forests are being ravaged. Forest managers estimate that by 2012, every single adult lodgepole pine in southern Wyoming and northern Colorado will be destroyed by beetle kill. This is devastating to our forest economies. We are also one unlucky lightning strike away from a serious threat to human health and safety. It is time we learn what tools our land managers need to address this epidemic and ensure they have those tools at their disposal. I look forward to making progress on that front today. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I yield back the balance of my time.
I'd like to then move on to our next panelist, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. They tell you when you write testimony that you should really hit them off hard right when you get up front with the testimony. But you've all witnessed the pictures that have been up here today, and there is nothing I can say to you today that would give you a better image of the grave issue that we're facing in the West. These are visions that I get to look at every day. As I said in my testimony, I'm the general manager of Carbon Power and Light. We are a rural electric cooperative in South Central Wyoming. We're a small co-op. We've got a large service territory with 3.3 customers per mile, 6,100 meters, and we serve in portions of the Medicine Bow Mountains, the Sierra Madre and the Medicine Bow Range. In 2006-2007, we watched from the valley as it had been moving into the area, but it really seemed to explode. The bark beetle issue really came on strong. And as the general manager of a rural electric cooperative with distribution power lines serving cabin communities, a reservoir providing water to the city of Cheyenne, communication sites, and forest service facilities, we became quite concerned of what the impact would be as these trees died along our power line right-of-ways. Typically, our right-of-ways are 10 to 15 feet either side of center line or 20 to 30 feet in width. That doesn't seem like it's very much, but with a healthy forest, they have been working quite well for years. As you can see from these pictures, we have a lot of trees that are dying along those right-of-ways, and we became quite concerned. At that time, in October 2007, I called a meeting with the Forest Service folks in our area because we were concerned. Two of my staff members and myself met with 9 Forest Service officials and expressed our concern and were asking questions as to what was going to happen. Much to my surprise, I was informed that there was no budget from the Forest Service side to handle any clearing outside our existing right-of-ways, and that they would be our responsibility. In subsequent meetings, I was also informed that if one of those trees fell from outside that area, my cooperative would be held liable. This was an extreme concern to us. Our legal counsel approached the Forest Service people in our area and said, where does it say that in our special permits that we could be held liable? He asked for a legal opinion, was never given one, was told that the Forest Service legal counsel could not talk to him on this, and that we would remain liable. Having been faced with that, we had no decision to make but to move on. We worked with the Forest Service. Our local Forest Service people have been very good about trying to help us get going. They've come up with a streamlined approach from the NEPA program. It's called an environmental assessment. But you have to put streamlined in context here. We started on this process in early 2008. We have not had a complete EA approved at this time. We have not been able to cut a tree. And we're going to more than likely not cut a tree in 2009. For clarification, our special use permits say that we are responsible for clearing the trees in that permit area. They also go on to say that any tree that's a danger that's leaning in towards the power line, we must contact the Forest Service to get permission to cut that tree. If it's an immediate danger, we can cut it, but we have 48 hours to notify them that we've done so. That led us to believe that all those trees outside our permit area were not our responsibility, but now they are. And while we go through the EA process and all the rules and regulations and all the study associated with this project, the clock is ticking. And the liability is still hanging over my head. At the beginning of this process, I guess one of the biggest problems we had is we were the first guys, to my knowledge, we were the first ones that moved ahead with a distribution power line clearing project. I guess one of the problems with being first is all the rules get created as you go along. And that is one of the biggest things that has hindered us in moving forward at this. I'd like to just close that, and I thank you for your time. Again, the clock is ticking for us. I still have the liability issue as a cooperative. Many cooperatives in the state, and these states represented here today, have that hanging over their heads right now. And we need your help.
Thank you.